This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الصلاة خير من النوم الصلاة خير من النوم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
plus 15.
18.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
اعتدلوا الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. واتل عليهم نبأ إبراهيم إذ قال لأبيه وقومه ما تعبدون قالوا نعبد أصناما فنظل لها عاكفين قال هل يسمعونكم إذ تدعون أو ينفعونكم أو يضرون قالوا بل وجدنا آباءنا كذلك يفعلون قالا فرأيتم ما كنتم تعبدون أنتم وآباؤكم الأقدمون فإنهم عدو لي إلا رب العالمين الذي خلقني فهو يهدين والذي هو يطعمني ويسقين وإذا مرضت فهو يشفين والذي يميتني ثم يحيين والذي أطمع أن يغفر لي خطيئتي يوم الدين رب هب لي حكما وألحقني بالصالحين واجعل لي لسان صدق في الآخرين واجعلني من ورثة جنة النعيم واغفر لأبي إنه كان من الضالين
ولا تخزني يوم يبعثون يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين، وبرزت الجحيم للغاوين، وقيل لهم أينما كنتم تعبدون من دون الله هل ينصرونكم أو ينتصرون، فكبكبوا فيها هم والغاوون، وجنود إبليس أجمعون، قالوا وهم فيها يختصمون، تالله إن كنا لفي ضلال مبين، إذ نسويكم برب العالمين، وما أضلنا إلا المجرمون، فما لنا من شافعين، ولا صديق حميم، فلو أن لنا كرة فنكون من المؤمنين، إن في ذلك لآية وما كان أكثرهم مؤمنين، وإن ربك لهو العزيز الرحيم. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد إن شاء الله. I want to apologize for missing Fajr yesterday and last night's Tahajjud. Some call you can stay in hospital and some call you can stay in Masjid. This call was a stay in hospital one, so. But it's my last shift, inshallah, so I'll be here for the rest of the month. I honestly wasn't sure it was Fajr when I came in this morning. I was asking some people, did I miss like a 24-hour day? Is it Taraweeh again? Or inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all that you came looking for and more. May Allah fill your heart with a connection that will ever last until the day that you meet Him. May He clarify your path to Jannah until the last moment of your life. SubhanAllah, you. And when you see something like this, it's just a humble reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of what the mission is, of what the job is, of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of us in service of His ummah. And you manage to you put a little bit of hope in a very darkened heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you the solution for a bleeding ummah, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. On weekend mornings, I do tafsir of Surah Az-Zukhruf. On weekday mornings, I do the stages of the hereafter. Can you give me a Quran from behind you, barakallahu feek? Please don't feel obligated to stay, especially if you've been here since at 1 or 2 o'clock if you need to go to sleep. That's not a problem. Usually it's between 20 to 35 minutes, the whole thing. Before you leave, make sure that whatever food you brought with you, barakallahu feekum. Please, if whatever food, please take it with you. There's nowhere, we have nowhere to put this food. And then Khalid and me take it home, and then our wives consider dumping us. So please take it with you, because there's just, there's no refrigerator here in the masjid, and we wouldn't know what to do with it. And then you put us in very difficult situations, and we're already in very difficult situations. Barakallahu feekum. We recited up to ayah number 56 of Surah Az-Zukhruf last week. We were supposed to do from 57 65 yesterday, but I didn't show up, so we'll do it today, inshallah. Surah Az-Zukhruf, as I explained a number of weeks ago, is a part of the Surah Al-Hawamim, and these surah give a number of pieces of guidance for those who carry the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pieces of things to do and things not to do. Surah Az-Zukhruf is one of the surahs that tell us things not to do. And the word Zukhruf means an adornment. Something that is shiny, that looks really nice on the outside and has no essence, has no value at all. That's what the word Zukhruf means. Zina, it looks good and it's also something that has value. But Zukhruf is just something that has no value but looks really nice. It's just a very beautiful thing to look at, but it has no value. And basically, just hearing the name, you can kind of get an idea of what this surah is trying to explain or talk about. And it's just, it's talking about this materialistic or unidimensional approach to life and the fact that people will quickly become materialistic and start judging everything just based on appearance or based on financial value alone. That being the only metric that matters in judging anything. Success as an example, which is something that we see today more than probably any time prior in history. And the more you talk to people, the only way they can see someone being successful is if they are famous or rich, which is a very simplistic way of looking at life. It's very simplistic, and it is not healthy. It's not healthy at all. That is again a materialistic approach to what it means for someone to be, successful. I mean, your parents are probably successful. I mean, look at you. You're here. You're here. Your parents are successful, and they don't have a lot of followers, and they're probably not that rich. But again, the way that we've been slowly deluded to understand success in this world has become quite problematic. And it's the reason I chose Surah Az-Zukhruf as a surah for explanation. And it gives so many examples. It talks about the way the Arabs looked at women, and how because of this unidimensional approach for value within the time of Jahiliyyah, they disvalued ladies. They disvalued because they weren't financially lucrative for them at the time. And that's really where all this dhulm, all this oppression towards women kind of stemmed. It stemmed in a very materialistic approach, and that's how it moved on. And the Quran and the surah at the beginning, it just bashes that, saying, going after those who thought in that matter. They give the example of how they refused to believe in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, not because they didn't believe in monotheism, which is, tawheed is easy. Anyone, tawheed is not a, very few people will hear tawheed and say this makes no sense. It's quite rare. Usually there's some other reason, some underlying reason why someone's going to refuse la ilaha illallah. And for them, it was because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in their way of judging things, he wasn't noble. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most noble person to live, but that's how they looked at it, because he wasn't rich. He didn't have a lot of status and power, and they said, well, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِّنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. Why isn't this book being given to one of the greats of the two villages, and who's greater than him, alayhi salatu wasalam? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. So now they're actually going to, you know, divide and grant people Allah's mercy and say who's worthy and who's not, and who has value and who's not. And then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the surah, he says, if it wasn't for the fact that human beings would make the wrong choice, he would give Jalla Jalaluhu every disbeliever everything they wanted. Huge homes, sururan, alayha yattaki'una, wa zukhrufa, everything, all the shiny stuff you want. Here, take it all. But if he did that became the norm, the moment you say, you leave the way of Allah, he gives you all this wealth, then everyone would just have left. وَلَوْلَا أَن يَكُونَ النَّاسُ أُمَّ وَاحِدًا. The fear is that people just all walk away from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we, as human beings, can become very materialistic really quickly. And it's one of the strongest swayers out there. It's one of the strongest whims and desires that exist. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if it's wealth that you want, then it's not a problem, that we can provide that for you. And then the story of Musa alayhi salam in this surah, which is a story you find every second surah Musa alayhi salam is being talked about, but very uniquely in Surah Az-Zukhruf, where it points out what Fir'aun's logic was in trying to sway his people, where he just basically stood and said, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرِ. Don't I own Egypt? وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Don't these rivers run under me? I own them all. Why are you listening to this person here? أَمْ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينٌ. How are you comparing between me and this person who has no status and no wealth and can barely speak? You know, he had a stutter, alayhi salam Musa. So he's mocking him. What does that have to do with the content of the message? Nothing. This is a unidimensional, extremely materialistic way of judging things. Actually, a five-year-old would probably not even accept this type of argument. This logic is so weak and so weird. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ. He treated them with stupidity. This is what the word means. فَأَطَاعُوا. And they accepted it. Certainly wasn't the last time a politician did something like that, was it? Surely it wasn't the last time that a politician would stand up and use logic that, you know, five-year-olds would find weird and people would still follow them. It only goes to show how little things have changed. And then the example after it, which is what I'm going to read it and talk about today, inshallah, is Isa alayhi salam. And the reason Isa alayhi salam is going to be talked about, because Isa alayhi salam is the opposite of all of that. Isa alayhi salam was not an icon of materialism at all. Isa alayhi salam lived and died and took nothing with him throughout all of his life, alayhi salam. He is the icon of zuhd, of asceticism. He had nothing. He didn't want it, alayhi salam. He lived a life of simplicity, of very little consumption, of taking maybe nothing from dunya. He had no possessions, alayhi salam. Nothing at all. But he was heavy in the metric of wisdom, alayhi salam. Extremely wise. Someone who had a lot of wisdom and very little possessions. So the surah, after speaking of Fir'aun, this horrifically materialistic example, he gives the example of Isa alayhi salam. And how, even though Isa alayhi salam was like that, we still managed to mess it up. And I'll recite the verses and then I'll explain them, inshallah, quickly. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولما ضرب ابن مريم مثلا إذا قومك منه يصدون وقالوا أآلهتنا خير أم هو ما ضربوه لك إلا جدلا بل هم قوم خصمون إن هو إلا عبد أنعمنا عليه وجعلناه مثلا لبني إسرائيل ولو نشاء لجعلنا منكم ملائكة في الأرض يخلفون وإنه لعلم للساعة فلا تمترن بها واتبعون هذا صراط مستقيم ولا يصدنكم الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين ولما ضرب ابن مريم, when Ibn Maryam, when Isa عليه السلام was given as an example, when Isa came up as someone who lived a life, when he was given as the example of someone who lived with asceticism that was not materialistic, who did not really own anything of dunya, had no possessions at all. إِذَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْهُ يَصِدُّونَ. يَصِدُّونَ is a very interesting word in Arabic. It's something that is reflecting back. And everything that has some degree of reflection, يَصِدُّونَ is word, is used. So عَنْهُ يَصِدُّونَ, if it was that, then the idea or the meaning would be that they rejected it or they turned away from it. مِنْهُ يَصِدُّونَ means they laughed at it. Because when you laugh, there's this reflection of the voice coming off your vocal cords. And yasiddun here means they mocked, they laughed. Minhu yasiddun means they thought it was hilarious, they started to laugh. When alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam talked about examples of people who were very successful, who actually made a huge impact in the world and still owned nothing. They didn't really walk away. The perfect example is Isa. So they started to laugh at it. And they said, well, look, he's being worshipped. And we managed to do that. We managed to change what Isa alayhi salam actually was and what Isa alayhi salam actually brought. Isa alayhi salam came as someone who did not believe, who changed the way of thought in terms of possessionism and materialism and consumption. And instead of actually living like Isa alayhi salam, instead of actually embracing or embarking on a life like Isa alayhi salam, we materialized him. We turned him into a god or a semi-god or a demigod, something of that sort. And then we turned his birthday into the most consumption-based celebration that has ever existed historically in the world. The time that the most amount of money is spent around the globe is the day we claim Isa alayhi salam was born. We are so good at this. This is literally what we know how to do. This is what we specialize in. We don't like anything that's not materialistic. No. Isa, he came, said no materialism. We'll see about that. He thinks, we turn him, alayhi salam, to something materialistic. We start saying he's a son, which is, again, when we say son of God, that's a materialistic description. You're turning him to something different, something that he was not, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then you turn everything regarding him into a celebration of consumerism. So they say, وَقَالُوا أَلِهَتُنَا خَيْرٌ أَمْهُ. Why are you using Jesus as an example? Our idols, aren't they better than Isa? At least we're worshiping angels. At least they're not actually, flesh and blood. This is the argument that they're using. This is the logic, the rationale that they want to. مَا ضَرَبُوهُ لَكَ إِلَّا جَدَّلًا. They're only using this example as a way of argument. إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا قَوْمٌ خَصِّمُونَ. They're just interested in arguing with you, regardless of whether you're right, they're right or wrong, whether they're using a logic that is correct or not. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا عَبْدٌ أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَثَلًا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. All Isa alayhi salam ever was a servant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed his blessing upon. A servant who walked into life and out of it with nothing at all. He's saying, subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a servant that we have bestowed our blessing upon. How is that? How did you bestow your blessing upon him, Ya Rabb, if he really didn't have anything? Where is the blessing in it? If there's no home and if there's no house and there's no car and there's no... Where is the blessing? Again, if it's a unidimensional approach to what a blessing is, this is a blessing. Where you are right now, the fact that you're able to come here, not from an oppressive perspective that, well, I'm allowed by the government. No. The fact that your trajectory in life, your path, is a path that allows you to be here. Because there's a lot of people you know that just don't come to these places. It's not a part of who they are. They weren't raised that way. They're just on a different path altogether. This is not something that they think about a lot. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. But you're here. And I'm here. Not for anything that I did that's special. It's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing here. I'm going to put you on this path. So you're on that path. So you're here. You come to the masjid. You recite the Quran. You listen. You pray, you're close to Allah. You have the opportunity to find that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the blessing. That is the blessing. And Isa alayhi salam was one of those iconic figures of that. Couldn't care less. Just enough food in the belly to keep him from being hungry and clothing to cover his body. And he was the happiest person ever lived. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on him the true blessing. The true blessing of guidance, of closeness, of clarity. It doesn't confuse alayhi salam. Was not being pulled in different directions. Wasn't distracted. Was not falling into sin. He wasn't. And that is that's the life worth living. That's the life worth living. An'amna alayhi. I love the usage of the term. He didn't say an'amna alayhi to Fir'aun. Just to go back and look at it. He didn't say that. The guy who stood and said, Alaysa li mulku Misr, he didn't say, I had given a Fir'aun blessing. What was the point of all that wealth when he died with those rivers that were under him, you know, he put them above his head. But Isa an'amna alayhi. وَجَعَلْنَاهُ مَثَلًا. We made him an example for Bani Israel. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَجَعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ مَلَائِكَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ يَخْلُفُونَ. And if you're talking about angels being gods, they're not gods. We could have made you angels. We could have just flipped it around. Human beings could have been the race that doesn't choose and the race that serves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Openly, Malaika could have been the race that is going to have that amana of choice and have that opportunity to be rewarded and the risk of being punished. We could have just flipped it. نَجْعَلْنَا مِنْكُمْ مَلَائِكَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ يَخْلُفُونَ. Meaning, we'd have Malaika that are reproducing and living on this earth. Why are you worshipping something just as weak as you are? Why? Because it's something that's a bit more materialistic to you. Because you don't like a God that is that powerful, that is that supreme, that is beyond time and space to the point where he is not in need of any help at all, that there's no usage for multiple gods and multiple people to go and ask for help and having. It's hard. Human beings don't like that. We never liked monotheism. Even though it makes the most sense, we just don't like it. Because it suggests something way beyond what we're comfortable with. It suggests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is way beyond flesh and blood, way beyond the observable universe, just way beyond it. And because we don't like that, one of two things we do. Either we try and make him more human, we try to humanize him a bit more. Here, a spouse and children. Here, associates. Have something, be more like us. Require help, require assistance. Have to deal with more. Or we try to make ourselves closer to gods, which is why Marvel and DC are so successful, because we don't like being just human beings. We want to be something different. We wish we were something more. We wish we had more abilities. We were able to, you know, the abilities that we have are just not enough for us. These cognitive abilities, they're not as materialistic as we would like them to be. But give me something else. If I can fly, maybe, or if I can, you know, shoot lasers out of my eyes or something like that, it's much more meaningful. I'm much more powerful now. I'm okay now. It's okay. He can be God as long as I'm a bit more than what I am. SubhanAllah, you are. You are a lot. Just with just what he gave you. But if you're judging it based on that, if you're just using materialistic metrics is to judge it, then yeah, it's going to look pretty bad. But there's way more to us than what we even understand. وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ. And Isa alayhi salam is knowledge for the day of judgment. فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ. Don't doubt him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because Isa alayhi salam will do. Isa is a great example because we're not the only faith that believes that he'll come back. Other faiths believe that as well. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send him back again. This iconic example of someone who lived life not looking at the most obvious desire within it, which is just to own things, to possess. وَاتَّبِعُونَ. And follow me. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. This is truly the straight path. Truly, none of this is meant to say that you shouldn't try to make money. No. If you walk away taking this from this jars, then I've failed you. No, you need to make a good living. Actually, try and make as much money as possible. Try to be as rich as you can. Now, the question is why though? What are your goals? What are you trying to do with all of that? What are you using it for? How much of that is going to go to you and to your personal needs and usages? And how much of that is going to be used to serve others? Being rich is a good thing. The Prophet ﷺ would seek refuge in Allah from faqr all the time, from poverty. And he was never poor, ﷺ. He was just zahid, which is different. No, Dr. Sardar will be happy with this one. He was just zahid. He was someone who just chose not to consume a lot. He just chose that. He had the means to be wealthy. He had a business. He had been working since he was 8 years old, alayhi salatu wasalam. There was two businesses that he ran, his own and Khadija after she passed away. He didn't require wealth. He just didn't want to use so much. He wanted to take what he had. He gave. He left just enough to survive. He didn't want it. There's a difference between not being able to allow ends meet and just not wanting to have more than you need, which is what Ramadan teaches you. Here's what you need. Here's what you want. What you want is everything, all the time, as much as possible. There's no end to the greed that's inside of us. It's just how we are. Ramadan just tells you, you don't really need that much. Here's 17 hours a day with no food and drink, and you're fine. Here's, go through 10 nights of sleeping 3 to 4 hours, and you're fine. You're actually probably the happiest you've ever been. You're probably some of these nights you'll look back when you're a bit older and say, these were the best times of my life. Just the moments that you're close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even just remotely. Just a moment where you made a sujood and it meant something to you, or you made a dua and you felt something. You'll look back at it and say, those were the best times. You won't look, a lot of other moments will be much more expensive that you don't look like, you don't look at like that later. This is the sirat al-mustaqim. This is the actual straight path. وَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ And don't let Iblis, na'natullah alayhi, send you back. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ Indeed, he is the true enemy. Because Iblis just opens that endless catalog of possessions. Here, don't you want this? Don't you need this? Look at Fulani, he has this. Look at Fulani, she has that. Where is yours? And then you get all distracted and upset and you start thinking about that. And it's really easy. It's really easy to get distracted. I'll just continue the few verses and we'll end, inshallah.
ولما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لكم بعض الذي تختلفون فيه فاتقوا الله وأطيعون إن الله هو ربي وربكم فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم فاختلف الأحزاب من بينهم فويل للذين ظلموا من عذاب يوم أليم
And when Isa alayhi salam finally came to his people with the bayinat, with the clarifications, he said, indeed, I've come to you with wisdom, بالحكمة ولأبين لكم بعض الذي تختلفون فيه And I will clarify for you many things that you've been confused about all your lives. All the questions that you had, you don't have clear answers for, that you're uncertain about, that people have been saying all these weird things and you're not sure which one to follow. I bring you wisdom and I bring you clarity. The two things that are really valuable in life, if you want to, see, what is valuable, Tayyib? Because you're wondering, what is valuable? If you're saying Zukhruf, if that's not really the true value, then what is valuable? It's having these two things. If you have wisdom, I mean, if you're knowledgeable, you learned enough, you spent enough time educating yourself, and you spent enough time with people who are knowledgeable, and you picked up experience, and you picked up wisdom, and you have clarity, meaning you're not confused, you're not lost, you're not standing in life uncertain of why you're here, and where you're going, what's required of you, and what's asked of you, then you are the richest living person. You are truly blessed. And all you have to do for the rest of your life is just be grateful for the fact that that is you. And that's what Isa alayhi salam brought. He brought these two things. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ So be mindful of God. And listen, follow. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُوا Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your Lord and mine. Isa alayhi salam never claimed what is being claimed of him alayhi salam. He came and said the opposite. But the opposite means that we don't get to enjoy our wealth as much. And we just don't like that. So we'll twist it around. We'll play. Let's adjust this a little bit. Let's adjust this narrative a little bit and make it so it suits us a bit more. فَعْبُدُوا Worship Allah. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ This is the truth. This is the straight path. Again, the same concept. Repeat it again, that straight path. The straight path, this is where you're taking in that knowledge. You're taking in that wisdom. You're taking in that, you're generating a degree of clarity. Clarity. Wallahi, clarity is so important. If you're clear on things, if you know exactly what you're doing here, if you walk out of the masjid, you know exactly what your job is, what your mission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, why you're alive, where this is all going for you, what direction it is, and how it's going to end. If you have that clarity, you are richer than the majority of human beings that lived on this planet, historically from Adam alayhi salam till today. Just hands down, clear. That's what Isa alayhi salam had. He was happy with it. He brought it to his people. He told them, this is the right path. Just worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't go astray. فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ And then all the groups that came after, they differed on this. They didn't like it. They debated it. They debated, they manipulated, they changed amongst themselves. They started saying, no, that doesn't make any sense. Let's add this to it. Let's take that away from it. Let's maybe adjust this hukum. This ruling here, we can't drink what? We can't eat what? No. Let's see if we can change that. Maybe he just meant it as a recommendation. Maybe it was just there was some other reason for this being haram or this being halal or this being the command here. Maybe he's obviously not. You see, if you believe Isa alayhi salam is just like us, a human being, then you have to follow. But maybe if we turn him into something non-human, then we don't have to be like him because you can just say, well, that's Isa. Isa alayhi salam, I wasn't human. I can't be like Isa. Be like Isa? No. Isa alayhi salam is God himself. Jalla jalalullah. Taqaddas Allah. Subhanallah. But that's what they said. That's how they went by it. It's easier that way. You see, if I make you non-human, then I don't have to follow you anymore. Because I'm human. I can just say, well, all of my whims and desires, what about them? You don't have them. You are godly. He wasn't alayhi salam. He wasn't. And that's the most beautiful part of him. The most impressive part of Isa and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is that they were fully human. Fully every whim and desire that you have, every urge, every itch that you want to scratch, they had the same thing. None of it was taken, it was all there, but they just chose to live a life differently. They just really understood the value of things. They saw hikmah and clarity, they saw wisdom and clarity as the actual valuables in life, in contrast to everything else. If I believe that they're human, then I'm like, well, why can't I be like that? And that hurts. So you know what? An easier way, we'll just turn them into something different. They're not human anymore. I don't have to be like them. That's the trick that we play. I can't. Oh, Fulan, you want me to be? We actually even go beyond that now. What, you want me to be like a Nabi? Yeah, I do. Exactly. That's exactly what I want you to be like. Even though we claim to them, for them to be human, but if we want to actually say something, a wife and a husband are fighting. You want me to be a Nabi? Yes, that's exactly what I want you to be. I want you to be like a prophet. Isn't that what you're here for? Isn't that what your job is? To read and then become as similar to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as possible. Which is fully possible. Which is fully possible, because what's the difference? There isn't. Human. The potential is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing. He can give you that. He gave you that potential. Just reach it. It's your destiny. Just go for it. Just pursue it. You may not achieve it 100%, but if you achieve 98, wallah, that's good. Wallah, if you achieve 80, wallah, if we achieve anything. Wallah, if you're able just to walk one step in life like the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you can argue with that yawm al-qiyam. You can stand there and argue. You'll argue yourself into Jannah just with one thing. Subhanallah. فَاخْتَلَفَ الْأَحْزَابُ مِنْ بَيْنِهِمْ They differed amongst each other and they changed things around. They manipulated this whole thing. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمٍ أَلِيمٍ We warned those who oppressed the message itself and oppressed the Prophet. Isa alayhi salam has a difficult day. You know that, right? He did nothing wrong. Yawm al-Qiyamah, we come to him. We say, Isa, intercede on our behalf to start judgment. And he says, no, this is a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath has reached its pinnacle. I can't. Every other prophet that we go to will give us a reason. I made this sin, or I did this mistake, or I didn't behave perfectly on that day. Musa alayhi salam, I threw the alwah. I yelled at my brother. Nuh alayhi salam, I spoke to God about my son, shouldn't have done that. Not even sins. Isa alayhi salam will not say a sin. He did nothing wrong. He literally did not sin once, alayhi salatu wasalam. Not even once. And all he did is, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. He moves on immediately. Within maybe a generation, he's turned into something different. And then on the day of judgment, he is questioned. Ya Isa ibn Maryam, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ You told people to worship yourself and your mother aside from Allah or with Allah? He has to answer to that. No, I didn't. I didn't say anything. I didn't. He has to go to the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. He has to defend himself. He has to prove that he didn't do the one thing that he taught people not to do. This paradox that he's stuck in, alayhi salatu wasalam. That's why Yawm Al-Qiyam is like, no, I made no sin, but I can't go speak to God today. Look at all these people that spent all their lives believing I was something I wasn't, who equalized me with God. I dare not look him. I dare not speak to him today. I don't know why they did it, but they did it. فَوَيْلُ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمٍ أَلِيمٍ We warned them of a painful punishment on that day. And that is why Isa alayhi salam is talked about in Surah Az-Zukhruf, because he is that iconic figure, someone who was ascetic, someone who was wise, someone who took the value of life from a different source that was not materialistic. And we managed to turn it into something different. And he has to, and he'll be held to that yawm al-qiyamah. And of course, he made no sin. We'll end with that, inshallah. We'll continue next week. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu feekum. Please remember to take with you the food that you brought in. And we'll see you, inshallah, tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.